Begin to eat the dust, the dust of Baja California.
It's a great pleasure to have all of you here today.
I thought you all might begin your tour here.
What a week it's been. It's a week that brought us the devastating news about Patrick Swayze, a brand new Super Smash Bros. Game, and the worst movie about 10,000 BC ever made. But you know what? We're not going to talk about any of that stuff, because you're listening to somebody else's podcast. That's right. This is the show where we listen to all the podcasts so that you don't have to. Every week, we listen to dozens of hours of podcasts in order to bring you the best, the worst, and the weirdest moments updated and uploaded to the internet. This is Somebody Else's Podcast, the show that proves that you really aren't missing anything by not listening to all those fake radio shows. Hello and welcome. My name is Cyril Lachelle, and you are listening to Radio Free Gaming, the official podcast for defunctgames.com. All right. You guys should calm down. I get it. That's enough. Okay. So, I think I know why you're so excited. You saw that Phil Harrison step down, and now you feel that it's your turn to run Sony. Yeah, I know you. Well, anyway, while you sit and you wait by that phone until somebody gives you a call, we have a fantastic show lined up for you today, including the addition of several new podcasts. But before we get into all of that, maybe we should address some of the big news of the week, which involves Electronic Arts trying their hardest to take over Take-Two. Obviously, this kind of news sends ripples to the gaming community, which is why pretty much every podcast ended up talking about it at some point or another. If you're one of those people that thinks it's all about the sports industry and Madden and all that, then you probably aren't alone, because pretty much every other major podcast brought up this very thing as the main reason why Electronic Arts would want Take-Two. Well, here's GameSpot telling us their thoughts on this potential takeover.
EA, in secret, a couple weeks ago, proposed to the Take-Two's CEO and chairman of the board, look, we'll buy what you got, $2 billion. That is like all the stock you have on the open market at a 165% of what it's actually worth. Like, you're selling your stock for $15. We will pay you $26 for every share that exists.
No, let me ask before you go further. The Take-Two shareholders got to be pretty stoked about
secret. This was just to the chairman.
Right. Okay.
So they proposed it to the chairman. Now the Take-Two management team just took over 10 months ago after a shareholder revolt of their own because the old managers...
Take-Two has had real big problems with the SEC.
They've had problems in general.
Yeah, they've had problems, but they've been having problems with, you know, the feds for
their founder
reasons.
Was a convicted felon.
Yeah, I'll just kind of... It happens.
So the Take-Two management team, they declined it at first.
Yeah.
And then EA actually got back to them and was like, okay, well, we'll give you an extra dollar per share.
Right.
And then they declined it again. And so EA was like, well, okay, if you're not willing to listen to the reason,
I'll let the cat out of the bag.
They're doing the Microsoft thing and like, okay, we're making it public. And you shareholders, what do you think?
Because shareholders that are like, okay, so wait, every $15 that I have in your company now, they want to magically turn into $26 in my pocket.
Yeah. What's the problem with that?
Right. Because there's no way that's a 65% increase. And there's no way that Take-Two is going to, its management wouldn't increase the stock value 65% overnight on their own in the next 2 years.
So you have Strauss Zelnick, who's the chairman over at Take-Two, being like, hey, dude, you don't touch Take-Two.
Yeah, well, he says that they've actually undervalued their franchises,
right?
And Grand Theft Auto is, you know, probably the single most valuable franchise in gaming. So,
well, maybe, potentially, right?
Yeah, they've also got Bioshock, they've got Firaxis, and 2K Boston are some pretty hot developers, and then they've got the 2K Sports line.
So they have a bunch of stuff, not just the I think you said they have BioShock. They've got their 2K sports franchises.
They got
Civilization, Civilization, BioShock, Max Payne, Bully, Manhunt, Red Dead Revolver. All Take-Two guys.
Yep.
What does this mean for EA if they were to buy them? I mean, it's basically like...
If EA were to buy them, I talked to Michael Pachter, industry analyst, and he actually said that the reason that they would make this offer is not actually Grand Theft Auto or those franchises you just mentioned. It justifies it purely on sports domination.
Yep, just get rid of the competition?
Yeah, yep. Because if you... For one thing, you figure most people buy one or the other. With NHL 08 or NHL 2K,
sure.
NFL or All Pro, you know.
I would buy a football game.
Or a basketball game if you're a fan. So there's that market, they would get all of it.
I'm sure the licensing for the NFL would certainly take a different course if they didn't have a bidding war over it. And the same thing with licensing for MLB
thing is they wouldn't have to drop their prices so quickly, too. They could maintain, you know, without having to worry about cutting into the other guy, you know, your profit margins to stay competitive, which to me raises a big issue about this. I'm wondering if anyone's going to scream antitrust.
Okay, that wasn't the funniest clip ever, but that is just one theory about this Electronic Arts Take-Two deal takeover thing. Here's another one. This comes from OXM Magazine, which has their podcast, KOXM. Check out and see if they differ at all.
I have a theory. I have a theory that I'm going to lift. I'm going to crib directly from Chris Morris, the guy that writes the Business of Xbox column. I have been talking about this. He's going to be analyzing some of this. He points out very rightly that you take a look at the NFL deal that the EA did, and they locked that up, and then that was sort of to lock out the 2K football series, right? Which was a serious competitor to Madden.
Yep.
And then if they just buy 2K altogether, then the entire Take-Two brand, then they don't have to worry about it. So it goes away. Not only is there a lot of money to be made by buying the publisher of Grand Theft Auto, but also it totally makes Madden safe as milk for the rest of their lives.
Well, I think you've alluded to it right there. It's GTA and sports make this a worthwhile proposition for EA.
All right. It looks like the consensus is pretty much in. Everybody agrees that Electronic Arts is going after Take-Two because of the sports industry. Wow. If only we... Wait, what's that? Oh, not everybody agrees. Well, let's listen to this clip from Game Theory.
My question is then, if you take Rockstar out of the equation, what is EA getting for their money? What is it about Take-Two?
They're getting 2K Sports. A lot of people are saying that is the main thing. Look,
they're wrong. They're completely wrong. I mean, 2K Sports...
Well, it's not just about bringing in... It's not just about bringing in 2K Sports or talent from there. It's about eliminating competition.
Yeah, but 2K Sports is worth about $200 million a year, and EA Sports is worth $1.2 billion a year. So if you're paying $2 billion for a $200 million business, that doesn't make sense, especially as you won't realize that revenue anyway. You won't be growing that business. You'll actually effectively be destroying it. So then they're not buying it for the sports franchise. They're not buying it in order to get the baseball license, as some of these idiots are saying on the forums. You know, they're going for it because they're looking for these huge, huge brands like Grand Theft Auto. You know, EA are especially weak in the mature market, and you know, they look around at the biggest games of the year over the past year, and they've been mature products like BioShock. You know, we'll talk about this later. And they want a piece of that now.
Well, that's awfully interesting. I guess we have something of a disagreement here. While everybody else is saying one thing, Game Theory is kind of going off on their own and saying something else. That's just peculiar. How can we solve this? I wonder if Game Theory has ever said anything completely ridiculous about the Xbox 360 that maybe would invalidate their opinion, or at least their opinion about this. Well, let's see here.
Well, I mean, you know, a DVD can't hold more than, 4.7 gigs? So, you know, that's certainly where it would be restricted.
Not so fast there, Game Theory. A dual-layer DVD can hold 8.54 gigs, not 4.7. So there, that definitively proves that you are wrong and you don't know what you're talking about when it comes to Electronic Arts and Take-Two. That's right. This definitively proves that you don't know jack. We'll be right back. All right. So up next, we have a brand new podcast, somebody that we've never actually featured on somebody else's podcast before. I'm, of course, talking about Sarcastic Gamer. Now, I've gone to their site a few times. They have a nice blog, and for the most part, they have a pretty interesting podcast. However, I have a bone to pick with these guys, because they're doing my job. That's right, they're doing my job. I'm the one that has this podcast where I make fun of other people's podcasts, but they seem to think that they can do it too, and I'm going to call bullshit on that right fucking now. That's right, folks, I'm calling bullshit on that. You just listen to this.
The lovely and talented Lano.
Before we get into this,
oh God,
yeah, I'm going there, okay? I had a long-ass drive on Wednesday, and I listened to a ton of podcasts.
Yeah?
Some good, some bad. One podcast that shall remain nameless got on the show, started talking about the GDC, started talking about the Gears of War teaser trailer, and apparently, and I'm only picturing this in my mind because it's, of course, a audio podcast.
Yeah.
Turned to his buddies and said, can we all just agree that that was the best non-gameplay teaser trailer ever made? Can we all just agree?
That was like the worst teaser ever. It was in red and black.
And here's me in the car. No, mother! It's not the best teaser trailer ever. First of all, you have two guys run up to each other, and instead of shooting each other with their gigantic machine guns, they decide to fight with chainsaws. And apparently at some point, the hero of the story wins. And instead of slicing him down like a dog, he decides to do a circus flip with his machine gun that has an active live chainsaw spinning on the end of it. Like, it's friggin' Cirque du Soleil.
I'd like to point out to our listeners that Lano has been drinking this evening.
That's
and
not
he
true.
Also really likes Gears of War.
Yeah, he's a big fan.
I am a big fan of Gears of War, and I have not been drinking.
Okay.
I am a Gears of War fan. I'm a huge fan. I played the hell out of Gears of War.
Which makes it okay to say anything now. Go ahead.
If that is the extent of the innovation in Gears of War 2, I'm going to be pretty effing pissed off at Cliffy B when that game comes out. Let me just stop the idiocy right now. That is not the best thing ever. If that's what you do when you win, is you do a circus flip of your freaking machine gun, that is going to be retarded. Okay, I'm stopping the idiocy right now.
Look, buddy, this is my gig. This is what I do on my podcast, not on your podcast. You can be sarcastic all you want and do whatever you want, but you know what? You're not going to come in here and you're not going to make fun of other people's podcasts, because that's my gig, folks. That's what I do. All right. Now that you know that. Speaking of Sarcastic Gamer, I ran across this in the very same podcast. Now you're going to think I edited this, but I didn't. I didn't. Check this out and see if you find anything, I don't know, kind of wrong with this. Check this out.
So, boy, are there a lot of Turning Point, Call of Liberty ads blanketing some major gaming sites right now, Lano.
Taku, Destructoid, IGN were the big ones that I noticed that were entirely blanketed in Turning Point Fall of Liberty banner ads.
They skinned the site. They skinned the whole site in it.
I was looking for a review on one of those sites. I figured IGN would for sure have a review the day it came out, which they do for every single game that was ever made.
I just want to point out that Kotaku doesn't actually do reviews. So, you know, I mean, if they're...
Yeah, they
no,
do.
No, they don't do reviews. They don't do review scores.
They do
no,
Franken reviews, and they also do their own reviews of games. They don't do them the day of like IGN, so I'm using IGN as the example. So I was looking at IGN to find the review because I want to see how the game is, you know, because the demo was terrible. Yet I'm still a bit intrigued. I want to see what people think about it before I decide if I'm going to rent it or just ignore it. And they have a Frontlines review, and that game came out the same exact day as Turning Point. And they also have a Lost review as of Thursday, and that game came out, I think, the day after. There is still no Turning Point review on IGN.
The SarcasticGamer.com podcast.
Sorry, basically,
if you're still
what it
listening,
seems to
we
be,
appreciate
at least
your stamina and
from
sympathy.
The casual observer, but it seems to be that
the SarcasticGamer.com podcast.
Pretty sure isn't going to get a very good review score. Katamari. The best course of action for you to prevent that from getting out is to buy advertising on some of these sites and insist that they withhold the review score till the termination of that advertising agreement.
I don't know what it was, but it seemed like they had a pretty good thing going there. I that had a good conversation.
The SarcasticGamer.com
hey,
podcast.
Know,
we
know.
Never promised you a good show, which turned out
okay,
to be a wise
stop
move.
Stop that. Okay? I'm not going to let you do that. All right. So let's move on to... Okay, you're not going to do that. I'm not going to let you put that shit over my podcast. I'm talking here.
The SarcasticGamer.com podcast.
I'll just talk over. Hey, that's what I'm going to do. I'll just talk right over their promo. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Just stay tuned, because on the other side of this music break, we have a really funny thing from the Hardcore Christian Gamers. All right. Next up, we have yet another new podcast. This is this one is from the Hardcore Christian Gamer Cast. Now, I've never heard of this before, but apparently they're doing something right, because this is the 50th episode they've done. They've almost been at it for a full year, which I gotta say I'm rather impressed with. However, I don't know how they've done it if this is the kind of caller that they get in. Check out this clip, and I think you'll see what I mean.
Hello?
Hello there. I'm looking for someone that goes by the name of Grant.
Sorry, wrong number.
Whoa, hang on. Is this Grant?
Yeah.
Wow, I say I'm looking for someone that goes by the name of Grant, and I have the wrong number, but you are Grant. This is very awkward. This is Beast from Hardcore Christian Gamercast. How are you, Grant?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what kind of reaction they were hoping for. I mean, you know, maybe it would make more sense if you didn't try to prank call somebody, but I'm just, you know, that's their gig, not mine. Maybe that's what the Christians do. They like to prank call people. It's not what I like to do, but hey, I'm not the one that believes in fairy tales.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello there.
Hi.
You're not going to get in
trouble,
are you?
Hey. What?
You're not going to get
in trouble.
What?
Well, hey. Oh, what's the question? Because I got to get back to school.
Okay, so maybe this prank calling stuff or whatever it is. Maybe that's just this episode. Maybe they don't do it in every episode. But so maybe I'm being a little bit unfair. To show you, though, that I will show you the other side. I'm not going to be unfair. To prove this, I figure that maybe it's about time we give you the best of Hardcore Christian Gamer Cast. No, I'm not kidding. This is the best of. They say it themselves. Don't listen. They say it.
Okay, so real quick before we end episode 50, we have a special best of Hardcore Christian Gamer that's out of all 50 episodes, probably the funniest moments. And I have to give a little shout-out to Brandon Aguilar, who helped us out. That's SOG Awestruck. He put this together, and special thanks to you, buddy. So enjoy the best of Hardcore Christian Gamer, 1 through 50.
Is what is your favorite childhood memory? If you have one specific that you think of when you think of your childhood, what is your favorite memory? And
some place you went or something.
Sure,
you got,
the time spent with mom and dad or aunt and uncle, or you know, the time that creepy grandpa did something to you. No.
Wow.
We just start
slow
all
down
over
on the survey zone.
Can we just let's just do this episode all over again? Let's meet tomorrow at the same time. Let's just start all over.
Wow.
I'm gonna go to Wisconsin to be a correctional officer. Not.
Why not? You scared?
Yes. I might get raped.
Come on.
No,
I won't even touch you, I promise.
Oh no. No, I...
You're safe.
Oh, God.
I'm safe. Oh, no, you wait.
Yes.
It's like you bite yourself on the lip, then it swells up, then you keep biting it, and it's like, crap.
I hate it when you keep biting me on the lip.
I know. I'll never bite you.
<I didn't. laughs>
That's awesome.
Is that the spaghetti spell, or did you best yourself?
He was really, really excited to finally play with us, man. I thought that was awesome. You know?
Was he, like, singing? He was kind of like, there's a guy in his own flag, B! Did you, like, put, like,
I think you just shot me.
Did you hear this coming?
There's a bad guy at flag A. He's got an MP4 in his hand. I think I'm gonna smoke him out with a grenade. And I'm gonna rid him of the thing.
Oh no, he just shot me in the head.
Now I'm dead.
Cause I'm a noob.
Oh man. Peace out. Peace in. Hey, peace all over the place. Just don't
pull in. Pull in.
Just don't peace in my Cheerios.
Okay. Nothing. Stop it. Yeah, stop. Okay. Thank you. Folks, I don't even know what to say. If I got a phone call from them, I wouldn't take it either. Maybe we should just move on. So usually around this time, we'd be checking in with Jeremy Parrish and the guys from 1UP who do the Retronauts podcast. But we're going to switch it up a little bit and take to a different retro podcast. This time, we're going to look over at Destructoid's retro podcast, which they call, I believe, Retro Force Go. I've never actually listened to this podcast before, so I was interested to hear what they had to say about, you know, the virtual console and all that good stuff. But unfortunately, this is what they ended up talking about.
So far, I think
that game
maybe,
is so good.
I think maybe what Drewby's just trying to say without words is that he would like to have sex with you.
After that, I will accept his offer.
Wow, love! We have a love match.
You know what? I played Triggerheart Exelaga and Castle Shikigami 2 all week. So
I've been playing, like third base anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's worth a hand job at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, you thought today was about video games, huh? Kind of.
That's a debate I got into with a skank, a really friendly skank I used to know, is whether hand jobs were second or third base.
What did you think?
They're third base.
I think they're third. I think anything that results in ejaculation is at least third.
I agree.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's first
I think the
base
first half
kissing.
Of the hand job is second base, and then once it gets into the main stage, it's third.
was she so much of a skank that she called it first?
No, she called it second, and then I tried to understand what third was, and she said third was blowjobs only, and I thought third was kind of boring then.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
And so I assumed that first for her is like groping, like kissing doesn't even get into it. Like the second you step up to the plate, that's making out.
Wow.
But she was really, really nice, though, so as far as skanks go.
She was such a pleasant
slut. As far as skanks go, she was... Oh man, that was good.
Well-mannered whores.
She got pregnant like a month after high school ended.
Oh really, you don't say?
Yay.
Wow.
Wait, she didn't have a baby 9 months after you broke up, did she?
We weren't dating, we were
no.
Friends.
Oh. I was like, there might be a little angry Anthony running around somewhere.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Anthony doesn't date skanks.
No.
No matter how nice they are.
I just rape them.
Oh my god!
Rape them and be on my way.
Hmm. I hate to get all judgmental or anything, but rape—it's not very funny. You can't make good jokes about rape. It's not one of those subjects that's really funny. But what's that? We have some audio coming in. Oh, we have a clip that proves me wrong. Oh, well, shit, let's play it.
Oh, some people don't like you to talk like that. Oh, some people would like to shut you up for saying those things. You know that. Lots of people, lots of groups in this country want to tell you how to talk, tell you what you can't talk about. Well, sometimes they'll say, well, you can talk about something, but you can't joke about it. Say you can't joke about something because it's not funny. Comedians run into that shit all the time. Like rape. They'll say, you can't joke about rape. Rape's not funny. I say, fuck you. I think it's hilarious. How do you like that? I can prove to you that rape is funny. Picture Porky Pig raping Elmer Fudd. See? Hey, why do you think they call him Porky, huh? I know what you're going to say. Elmer was asking for it.
Okay. All right. Well, you made your point. Rape can be funny. But not when it's coming from the people at Destructoid, because that's just not funny. That's bad taste, folks. Bad taste. Get back to reviewing Virtual Console games, why don't you? Alright, so here we are, finally, to the end of a podcast. We only have one more segment left, and this comes to us from our good folks over at GameSpot. This is the hotspot talking about the future. Well, actually, they first start talking about the past, and then the future, but, well, anyway, just listen, and I think you'll see why I've included this as the final clip.
My girlfriend found this the other day, and she sent it to me. This is the Ladies' Home Journal.
Yeah.
Predicting back in 1901 what the future was going to be like in 2001. And some of these things were just amazing.
This is pretty prescient. There's this a lot of stuff amazing. That was like, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, store purchases by tube.
Yeah.
That's absolutely correct.
By pneumatic tube.
Yeah.
Well, like my girlfriend said, I've heard the internet is made of tubes.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
There you go. You can do online purchasing.
So let's, stuff like hot and cold spigots, that's air conditioner heating.
So the name of this article was What May Happen in the Next 100 Years, and it was written in 1901,
yeah.
Okay, so it was predicting the things that might be possible.
Right.
In the year 2001.
Well, they consulted some of the most conservative, learned and conservative mind in mm-hmm. America.
In 1901. Yeah.
I guess conservative was good back then.
You know, they didn't want to go too radical.
Right.
They didn't want to, you know, we're not talking time travel here.
These are not science fiction authors. These are people who probably hold
apparently there will be no wild animals in 2001.
Well, that was kind of interesting.
Horses will be practically extinct.
When is the last time you really saw a horse? I mean, seriously.
They only exist in video games for me at this point.
There's some Mounties.
A Zelda game. There will be 500 million people.
That's a lot. 350 to 500. So.
So there's a range there.
He was giving himself some wiggle room.
Well, what was it in 1900?
Two. There was this guy and the other guy, the conservative expert he checked with. Americans will be taller. I think that's actually true.
That's probably. Yeah. More milk in our diets.
Yeah.
That's actually probably true. There will be no C, X, or Q in our everyday alphabet.
That's interesting. He's so willing to just write off C, X, and Q.
That's actually true. You don't use C, X, or Q in
your
reports.
Well, no, okay, but
reports,
C?
Right,
I can understand X and Q. C?
Well, their reasoning is interesting because they say basically phonetic spelling will be adopted and they won't have all these letters.
Internet language.
Yeah.
And chat
that
speak.
Very,
again.
That's absolutely pre-Orwellian.
I'm touching my nose right now. They
Orwellian
were right on.
Newspeak kind of just combining.
Double plus good.
You should just put LOL at the end of this and you would have been a damn genius.
No mosquitoes or flies.
If only that was true.
I'm afraid that's gotten ready cooked meals.
That was.
There you
I
go.
Had Boy, macaroni and cheese today.
Yeah.
Ready cooked.
I saw it.
Yeah, saw me do it.
Coal will not be used for heating or cooking. That I have not cooked with coal.
Coal's still pretty
barbecue.
Pretty
used. Yeah, barbecue. Yeah,
barbecue, but not really for in-house.
Makes good hot dogs, though.
There will be no streetcars in our large cities. We happen to live in San Francisco, so...
Which is nothing but.
That is a... photographs will be telegraphed.
Streetcars are basically the trolleys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Photographs will be telegraphed, and I'm going to exchange telegraphed with faxed.
Yeah,
and,
from any distance.
There you go.
That's pretty
accurate.
Well,
that's just like sharing stuff over the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
totally.
There will be black, blue, and green roses. We are there. The future is here.
Genetic engineering.
Peas these will be as large as beets.
We could do it, I'm sure.
If we wanted to. Hell, yeah. We can do anything. We're America.
We can make peas as large as basketballs if you want.
I feel confident in our ability to do
okay,
that.
Okay, I will say this, though. Some of these things are pretty provocative, but it is funny that they have, like, no mosquitoes or flies. Like, that was, like, such a big thing. Or, yeah.
Well,
you know,
that's because malaria was, like...
Or peas as large as beets. It's like, that's what we really want. It'll be possible in 100 years.
They're basically just
saying, wait a little while
food
longer.
Food will be bountiful.
And yeah, the one right before that is strawberries as large as apples.
Like it was big enough news that it warranted two different entries.
I just love all the like food comparisons too, where it's like bananas as large as mangoes.
So you know what this means, right? It means we got to make predictions right now.
Yeah. My last one, though, before we make our prediction, Grand Opera will be telephoned. That was pretty interesting because obviously this is before the television and before anything.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that they're taking their technology and being like, someday I'll be able to listen to the Grand Ole Opry on the telephone.
It'll be good.
And the quality will be, they'll be in my living room.
I was very impressed by this list.
Yeah, this is really amazing.
So for 2108, need to think of some predictions. I'm going to say beets. As large as squashes.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah. Well, we need to take out technology we have now and just mutate it. Or just like mutate, like television
screens. We'll be replaced
by
smell-o-vision.
Will be 800 feet long in the future.
Televisions will be as big as beets. edible televisions. There you go.
Hard drives will be the size of small cars in the future.
That's right.
Actually, everything's getting smaller, right?
Yeah. So really small cars.
Yeah. Really small cars and huge hard drives. Right. That is the...
Your car will be made out of hard drives.
We're under attack. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to hold them off much longer. Earth has already been destroyed, and I fear that we're next. If you're hearing this, then it's probably just a recording. Do not attempt to find us, or you'll suffer a similar fate. There wasn't anything we could do. When the aliens attacked, we knew we were outnumbered. The Earth went down. It went down without a fight. It was the year 2015. As far as I know, I'm the last surviving podcaster, but I don't know how much longer I can hold them off. They're right here. They're at my door. Fact, they're